Following is a paid program on 630 WLAP. This is the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, got to play pinball. And put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk. We're gonna take it.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. This week joining us, we have Mario Balaban from Project Veritas. Tom, you ready to go?
Yes, ma'am. So Mario is originally from Brazil. I made the mistake of calling him Italian. He didn't get too mad at that. But his name is actually of Russian derivation. He has been in this country for 13 years, is a lover of the Constitution and our form of government, and he is with Project Veritas, which is a remarkable organization, I guess founded by or at least directed by a guy named James O'Keefe, who is just a maniac. And I'm sure anybody who worked with him would probably say the same thing. But he's a maniac for good things, for the truth, and to uncover dark deeds that are being done in darkness, and Project Veritas is good at sort of shining the light on these things in sometimes uncomfortable ways to the perpetrators. So with that said, Mario, go for it. We want to hear from you.
Hey, Tom, thank you for having me on. You know, yes, you are right. James O'Keefe is definitely a maniac in the very, very good way. He inspires all of us every single day here in the office. He was the founder of Project Veritas in 2010. So the organization is just over 10 years old now, and it's been exposing all sorts of corruption, both in private and public institutions. Mostly in recent days, big tech, mainstream media, voter fraud, and all sorts of corruption in that realm. So it's a pleasure to be talking to you today.
So when that was founded in 2010, James was what, like 26 years old, maybe?
Right.
He's not even 40 yet, and he's built this incredible organization.
That's right.
When Project Veritas goes after a deal, well, one of them was on harvesting body parts in California, which really stirred up a hornet's nest. You're going out, and there are a variety of ways that Project Veritas does, let's call it a sting operation, for lack of a better word. One of the methods that I've seen, probably most people have seen, is sort of an undercover conversation with somebody who doesn't know they're being taped or what have you. And you get the goods that way, because these people love to talk about the crap that they're doing, and they like to really brag about it, basically. And so they're not what I would call very brilliant people, because anybody that does this kind of stuff and gets caught is not too smart. But it seems that there are certain, and in a sense, you all are like a detective organization, and you got certain ways that you do these things.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a journalistic organization. We specialize, as you said, on undercover journalism and reporting. That's how we started off, really. Today, we're doing it in two-step big ways, right? One of them, obviously, being our undercover journalists going in the field, like you said, meeting with people, and people open up. They like to brag about their work, what they're doing, and then we record them and expose them. Especially, we've caught a lot of corruption that way. But most recently, I think in the beginning of 2019, James came up with a new idea of how to, you know, really shine the light in dark places, which is getting people work inside corrupt organizations like Facebook, Google, Twitter, you know, media, CNN, to come forward and tell us and, you know, bring us the information, record even inside the organization. So that has given us even greater access. And those stories have, you know, sometimes, you know, in most occasions, I would even say, given us even more success and exposed more truth than, you know, you could possibly imagine.
What, let me ask you this question. What is the typical, or there may not be a typical, but what would be sort of the profile of somebody who works at Project Veritas? I mean, you know, philosophically, spiritually, mentally, you know, those sort of things.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to be very determined. You have to be, like James likes to say, mission driven. We have a list of core values here that we follow, things that we have to do that we, you know, there's no way, you know, James is a very picky person in terms of who he trusts, as you can imagine.
And
and who he believes will complete the mission that he, you know, has dedicated his entire life to. So to work here, you have to be willing to work hard, work long, and be dedicated to the mission of exposing the truth. So, and I can tell you that if you're not that person, it's pretty quick to be noticed, the Project Veritas.
Yeah, I can imagine. Did you have something you wanted to ask? Oh, she doesn't. She kind of made some thing, and I didn't know what it was. That's part of being married, you know.
Yeah.
My guess is that it would be tough to have a family life, or, you know, unless your spouse was on the exact same page as you were in terms of your occupation.
It varies for employees. There's definitely employees that are married and have kids. They're able to manage this life. But I, you know, to your point, I definitely think that, you know, the more time you have, you know, to do this work and being around people that are, you know, like-minded, as you said, definitely helps in that case. Absolutely.
Right. Let me talk about you for a second. You personally came, you were born in Brazil.
Right.
You came to this country, I don't know, maybe your family moved here or something like that.
Yep.
And you moved here, and you're probably, what, 30, maybe, late 20?
I am 26.
26, there you go. Okay. What motivates you? Tell me about you, Mario, that makes you tick and want to do what you do.
Absolutely. So, as you said, I moved from Brazil to New York, where our offices are, you know, the Project Veritas office, luckily, is in the same place of the same city that I moved to. But as you know, New York isn't the greatest place to be in anymore.
I know. But it just grieves me because I used to love coming there on business. So.
Right. It is terrible these days. I would agree with that. But, you know, I moved here. I actually did went through high school in the U.S. and college in Rhode Island, university there.
Yeah.
I, you know, had a little bit of political work after college, but I was in 3 years of private sector working in digital marketing, technology, and sales and that stuff in the city. But, you know, I've always been a very political person. I've always had, you know, very strong beliefs. And, you know, coming from Brazil, I've seen a lot of things that, you know, ruin a country. I've seen what makes countries fall apart, and I definitely came here, appreciated the chance of being here, and the last thing I want is for this country to experience things that other countries have to deal with every day. So
right.
that for me matters, and I think a lot of people who have come to the U.S. Feel that way. So yeah, that motivates me. And I left that job, that comfortable private sector job that I had for 3 years that I, you know, somewhat enjoyed, and said I need to do something that really matters and does, you know, make an impact and changes the country, even the world, you can say. So it wasn't a hard decision for me to leave. And I definitely, every day I'm here, I am more thankful that I made that decision.
Let me ask you this. If you took, say, the top five big victories that Project Veritas has had, and you don't have to go into deep detail on any of them, but what do you think those would be?
That is a great question. I think it depends how you see a victory, right? I'd like to see victories as, you know, how many people took in this information and found out the truth because of our work. Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, stuff in terms of getting people arrested for crimes or people being fired for their wrongdoing that has impact, right? That people want to see people being held accountable. And I totally understand that as well. If I can say my personal favorite stories at Project Veritas is exposing, for example, I don't know if you saw, about a year ago, actually, we exposed the Bernie Sanders campaign, several of their paid field organizers talking about how they believe in gulags and they believe in violence and how, you know, Antifa is a good thing. So I think that, you know, people have to hear these things, like how radical some people in society are, to understand how dangerous, you know, some ideas that are floating out there really are.
Right.
So I think that stuff is really important.
What do they say, that behind every progressive is a totalitarian? And yes. I do believe that. I believe I got people living on my own street, maybe, or just around the corner from me, that would love to put me in prison. So, you know, that's just how it is.
It is sad that the country has come to this. You know, everyone, as I have this experience from outside the U.S., everyone looks to the U.S. as this country that doesn't have these issues. But unfortunately, it's hard to say that anymore, right? It's changed. A lot of people from other countries look at the U.S. like, oh, I wish, you know, my country could not have could have the same lifestyle as Americans do. It's hard. It's definitely changing, and it's unfortunate. But it is our duty to fight for it. So that's an interesting one. I think the voter fraud stuff that we've done was massive. The Minnesota ballot harvesting last year, the Texas ballot harvesting, which led to an arrest.
Yeah, I saw that
recently. I thought those were very important. I think voter fraud is, you know, very important issue. I think it's getting more important every day. The more they try to silence that kind of information, the more important I think it becomes. And I think exposing the media for me is also a personal favorite. I don't know if you saw the CNN tape that we launched in December. Where we were inside CNN leadership morning call.
Yeah, you busted, what's his name?
Jeff Zucker.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
God, that was, I love that. Oh, and he really got PO'd too, man. He was choking on it. Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah, no, I was in the room with James when he dialed in to that conference call. Definitely.
James is such a smart ass, and he gets on there and just gets up in the guy's face. It was great. It was. Yeah. So I bet in school he was constantly being put in the corner by his teachers.
Yeah, James is one of those people that if an authority figure tells him he can't do something, that's exactly when he will do it. James, you can't do something, doesn't work out too well.
Yeah, I know it. All right. Yeah, well, that was a good one.
Yeah, I love that. I thought that was very powerful. One, because of the, you know, again, like you said, it's a very, like, people who are not interested in politics, they don't really, some of them don't pay attention to what we do. But when we do something like that is, to a certain extent, funny, right? When you're like.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Right? And people pay attention to that. So yeah. You get people to pay attention and understand and care. So those, I would say, are definitely my favorite things, Project Veritas.
One of the things I wanted to make sure I point out to people who are listening, you can and should contribute to this cause. These guys are doing the work that the media used to do, and they're too damn lazy or scared or whatever to do it anymore. This is the Woodward and Bernstein type stuff that they're doing that nobody else will do anymore. And guess what? They don't have a newspaper and a huge budget paying them lots of money to do this kind of thing. They're also going after guess who? The New York Times right now for libel, for basically printing a bunch of stuff about them that's a lie. And it looks like New York Times is a little bit scared. So, you know, the bottom line is these guys will go after the Goliaths. And I need to, if somebody wants to donate or contribute to your company, your organization, where would they go?
The best way to do it is if you go to projectveritas.com/donate. That will take you to the page. I'd also recommend that your listeners and viewers go on, follow our pages on social media. I know a lot of people have left Twitter and all these different platforms that censor people, but we're present everywhere. You know, be it Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all those. But we're also on Telegram. We're also on those alternative social media platforms. So follow us there. And we're always, sharing links as to where you can go donate, so people can always keep track of those things. And I also would say, on our website, you can go on the front page and sign up for our email, so you receive directly in your inbox our latest update.
Yeah.
I do have a question now.
Yeah.
Have you all experienced censorship the way that the ordinary person, or are they a little bit more hesitant to come after you all?
No. I think it's an interesting question, because it is easier to censor, people that don't have large audiences, right? Because a lot of people won't realize they're being censored. But I think at the same time, because we have such a large audience, they want our message not to go out. So we do see, very odd things happening on our social media where, followers all disappear. All of a sudden we don't know why we lost so many followers, or people are complaining about some bug that's happening with the video and our video gets marked in a certain way. So we definitely, from time, James's Twitter account has been locked out at least once or twice over time, for pretty nonsensical reasons.
I bet that sends him over the edge.
Oh, yeah, no. Every time something, that messes with our mission happens, and, obviously that's not in our control, but we definitely respond. We're not one of those to say, oh, we'll just let that slide and we'll just take the hit. We're right back at them. And best example is, these big tech companies think they can intimidate people and censor people, but instead what we do is we'll go in there and investigate and expose them. And we don't care if they're... If they're going to, they think that the censoring us is going to make us scared, we'll actually go double down on exposing them every time they do that.
And I would think that would slow them down a little. They've got to be even sneakier than you all are to an extent, because they've got to do less obvious things. Like you say, they've got to take followers away or make your videos mess up. I mean,
The thing is, we've actually investigated Twitter and Facebook in the past, where we recorded their employees talking about how they, what they call shadow banning, the term shadow banning, where they have algorithms to, basically hide your posts and you don't know about that. Facebook calls it deboosting, like taking away the visibility of your posts. So they have algorithms on the back end of their platform that no one can really see, that they can control how much impact your posts have. So there's definitely multiple ways that they can censor people.
Well, and you all have got a really important job to do, because the giants, the Googles, the Facebooks, they all have kind of the same plan, And a lot of people think that Tom and me, when we talk about, you know, this is a real thing, this is a real concern, oh, come on, they'll say. No.
Yeah.
I mean, it is real.
It is very real. I mean, it can be more real after, you know, this is my personal opinion here. But, you know, if you look at the President of the United States being censored, you know, being removed entirely from a platform permanently. Meanwhile, the Ayatollah of Iran and the Venezuelan dictator have Twitter profiles. That says a lot to me.
It's unbelievable. It's just, and it's just, anyway.
And that's the short list. If we really right. went into all the pornography and the different things that are on the platforms, it's no doubt that there is a strategy with all of this. So people wake up, follow Veritas.
Project Veritas.
Project Veritas. I will post the information that Mario spoke of about their website and the different links on our DupreeFinancial.com blog/radio tab. So anybody that wants to follow and sign up for the email updates, that's where you'll be able to find it. And Mario, we appreciate you joining us. That was a quick segment with lots of information. And you know what, listeners, it's up to you all to do your own research. We can lead you to the water, but we can't make you drink it. We hope you'll drink it, though. All right, we'll be back in just a few minutes with more of the Tom Dupree Show. Stay tuned.
It's yesterday.
President for all Americans.
It's today.
Get the vaccine distributed.
It's tomorrow.
To impeach a guy in Florida.
It's history.
Today's and tomorrow's challenge.
Happening now.
Pay attention to it
in the days ahead.
News Radio 630 WLAP.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and DupreeFinancial.com.
2021 is the year of you, and iHeartRadio is giving you your very own station. Favorites Radio plays nothing but the songs you've thumbed up and listened to the most, all on one personalized station exclusively for you. The more you thumb, the more personal My Favorites gets. You can even share your station with your favorite people. My Favorites Radio, only on iHeartRadio. Number one for music, radio, and podcasting, all in one app.
iHeartRadio. Research Raccoon is the easy and affordable way to get smarter about your customers. Whether you need a new name for your business or launching a new product or don't even know what questions to ask, Research Raccoon can poll U.S.-based customers that day, giving you clean data to help you decide. No matter the size of your business, Research Raccoon gives you the tools to learn at an affordable price. So move with confidence with Research Raccoon. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more. Research Raccoon. Fast results with big data.
Well, I love to get feedback about products I recommend, like the EasyBreathe ventilation system. Here, let me read this testimonial I received. Before EasyBreathe, I woke up coughing every night, and since my EasyBreathe installation, I'm coughing less and vacuuming up less dust. The air in the basement is cleaner. Very expert and helpful installer was flexible with the placement and took all the time that was needed. Nice. You need an EasyBreathe for your home. I love mine. Had it for over 10 years. Breathe cleaner, healthier air every day. Find out more at EasyBreathe.com.
We'll keep the first half of this Saturday on the dry side with clouds increasing throughout the day. Temperatures by this afternoon reaching into the upper 30s. A few areas maybe getting into the lower 40s, but then a wintry mix moving in later on this evening and tonight, then turning over to rain. I'm WKYT meteorologist Adam Burnison.
If you want to get your business on the radio and you don't need help from a professional, you really need to check out iHeartAdBuilder.com. Not only is it extremely affordable, online, customizable, and heard by 9 out of 10 Americans every month, it's just so easy. You can even make your own radio ad all from your smartphone, wherever you are. Click, listen, approve, and get your ad on air. Get started today at iHeartAdBuilder.com. That's iHeartAdBuilder.com.
Last year, there was a victim of identity theft every 3 seconds. That means a cyber bad guy could be selling your personal info on the dark web without you even knowing it. That's just one form of identity theft. Now, you might miss certain threats to your identity by just relying on bank statements or monitoring your credit. The solution? LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. LifeLock sees certain threats that you could miss on your own. Plus, if you become a victim of identity theft, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will help you fix your problems. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help protect your personal information. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com using the promo code RUSH. Just go to LifeLock.com or call 800-440-4833 and enter the promo code RUSH. Promo code RUSH for 25% off.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and DupreeFinancial.com.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show. We had Mario Balaban join us from Project Veritas for the first half. Tom's going to fly solo with me chirping in for the second half.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's a little symbolism to this song we're listening to. If you listen to the words, I'd love to change the world. How are you going to change it, Tom?
I'm not changing a thing. That's God's business. Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me O God of truth. You know, this is so weird because I've always been kind of counter-cyclical. You have all these people of faith and people that I trust and like, you know, getting off of Facebook right now, saying get the heck away from Facebook and all this. And what's weird is that in the last probably 4 or 5 weeks, I've just kind of discovered it and started putting stuff on there. And they haven't censored me at this point.
No, because you're not talking politics.
I sure as heck have.
Not like maybe once.
No, you look at some of those posts.
I read every one of them.
Well, I did talk about it.
I censor you. I'm teasing.
You didn't censor me on those. But anyway, I put something on there today, and this is going to be spiritual in nature, but I had lunch with this gentleman this week who helped found this place. And if you follow me on Facebook, Tom Dupree, Christ Center, Lexington, Kentucky, at the corner of Mill and Maxwell Streets, where now stands Dudley Square, stood the old Dudley School. The building had been empty for years when in 1966, Paul and Rebecca Petrie and Jim and Dixie Parker leased it and formed Christ Center, which was designed to be a residential Christian community to help young people from the streets of Lexington coming out of drugs and violence. They had various programs, and one of them was a prayer and speakers meeting every Tuesday night. I was a sophomore in high school. This was like 1972, and I had lost my way. After a series of mishaps, my mother recommended that I try this place. I got on my bicycle one Tuesday evening and headed there looking for a woman named Cheryl who was supposed to help me. Not finding Cheryl, I went in the prayer meeting already in progress and sat down on the floor along with everyone else. People were taking turns praying when suddenly this guy, who I later determined to be descended from one of the first families of Massachusetts, got up and delivered a, quote, prophecy, first in what sounded like a foreign tongue and then in English. I was astounded and badly frightened, but I stayed there. For some reason, I kept praying for a buddy of mine whom I knew to be helplessly buried in drugs and alcohol. After the meeting, I found Cheryl. We went in a room, and she prayed for me. Suddenly, I felt like electricity was coursing through me from head to toe. I've never shared this in a public forum, but there's a first for everything. At this point, I became convinced that whatever power Jesus had, I wanted and needed. That was in 1972, and for the last 48 years, I've had my ups and downs with God. But I cannot deny, nor would I wish to, his absolute grip on my life. That doesn't forestall problems or heartbreak or my own negligence or even recalcitrance. Love that word. Jesus Christ, despite all my shortcomings, is still and will be my Lord forever, and that is based on his power, not my own power to do the deal. This happened to me at Christ Center. I consider that place holy ground. Now, you know, that's personal testimony about how I became a Christian and, you know, how I continue to be a Christian is a book that's, you know, still being written. But I want to talk about it a little bit in terms of geopolitics, because this gentleman that I had lunch with who founded it has been very instrumental in Europe and around the world in doing prayer breakfasts and promulgating the Christian message throughout the world. And you know, they say all roads, geopolitically, all roads lead back to Israel. And I think in some ways they do. Although here in the U.S., we find that with the recent elections and, or let's call it installations, you know, if you want to really get down to, I don't need to get into what I think about what really happened, but it's definitely going to affect Christianity and everything that we stand for in this country in a Judeo-Christian sense. The suppression of free speech, the suppression of the ability to worship, the destruction of innocent life, the promotion of disordered sexual biases, and a variety of other kinds of things. I am not scared of people that might try to harm me or others because I know that God is my salvation. I don't look to man for my own justification, nor do I attempt to justify myself in terms of how many people like me or how much money I make or that sort of thing. Indeed, I do believe that part of the success that we've had at this firm is because we have trusted in God and believed that he was our deliverer. And just as Mario said about Project Veritas, when somebody goes after them, they push back. And, you know, I have found that to be a pretty good way to look at it, because what's pushing against me is usually something evil. Now, where does this all lead? Those that are the church, that are that call themselves Christian, are going to have to be more cognizant of what they're up against. It's not going to be business as usual. If you think you can zoom in and out of church in 50 minutes and that's it for your week, you may find that that's not going to be sufficient anymore. When we started this business, I had to completely, basically lay my body out there in terms of marketing and going after business and just extend myself in a way that was uncomfortable but necessary. Well, this is the same thing in terms of your Christian life. The people that are truly in the game are going to win this deal. It's not going to be for sissies. You're going to have to endure some things. It could be very arduous and difficult. You could lose things. I mean, you know, but God is doing it because he's allowing it because he loves his church and he wants his church to be his bride. And in order to be his bride, we have to be cleansed of sin. And, I didn't used to do shows like this, but I do now because I believe they are necessary. And, you know, we could have our show taken away from us at any point in time. Somebody could say, it's too religious, it's too this, it's too that. And they could say, you know, you don't get to do it anymore. And so we could probably switch it to a podcast or something like that.
Well, it already is on a lot of different podcast platforms. We just wouldn't have
Have the radio signal.
Well, yeah, it would be found on different platforms instead of on the radio.
You know, I find that reading the Psalms is very helpful. That's part of the Old Testament that is, there's 150 Psalms, and they tend to speak out the emotions that a lot of people are already feeling. And it's very helpful to do that. But I also see at this time in our history, some things are coming full circle. So I told this gentleman when we had lunch, the one that helped found the Christ Center, I said, you know, I'm like your spiritual offspring. I am somebody that met Christ because of the work that you started. And I trust that my relationship with God, with Christ, is the most important thing I have. It's more important than any family identity that I might have or anything, you know, related to business or those kinds of things. It gives me whatever integrity I have. It comes from being a Christian. And, you know, in that sense, I don't have anything else. Referring back to the visitor or the guest that we had on the first half of the show, James O'Keefe of Project Veritas is one of the true heroes of the faith. Now, I don't know if he's a Christian or if he's a Catholic or if he's anything. He doesn't talk about his faith that much, but he's still a great hero because he is fearless in the face of evil, and I mean evil, evil. He doesn't back down. He laughs about it. Son of a gun laughs about it. I mean, you know, he's been doing this since he was 26 years old, probably been doing it a lot before that. That's who I want to be like. I tend to get worried. I don't sleep well. I'll this, I'll that. I'm fiddling my hands or, you know, whatever. And this guy just like goes for it. They shoot me, they kill me, that's fine. I'm dead. And I love that. I love that kind of guy. I really do. Just love him.
I think the term, Tom, is wringing your hands.
Fiddling my hands. Oh, yes, they call him the fiddler. We used to say that about one of our sons who just would fiddle all around. He was really something. Then he ended up playing baseball. And he was good. Gosh, he could throw the ball. Threw it to me one time. I was catching him. I had the catcher's mitt up here, and all of a sudden, right when it got to me, the daggone thing fell 4 inches and hit me right on the chest, and I just got so mad.
I think that was the last time you tried to throw with
him. Yeah, he was throwing a daggone curveball. It's your old man. Hell, I don't even have a catcher's face guard on or nothing. Throw that ball at me, and it curves.
And he was only like 11 at the time.
He shouldn't have been throwing a curveball. That might have been what messed up his arm.
No.
Yeah,
no.
But anyway.
I don't think that was it anyway.
Yeah. But we're here. We're going to keep doing what we do. I don't care how dark it gets. It gets dark because it is dark. You know, and we have to make light. In Samuel, King David, before he was a king, was hanging out with the Philistines. And they said, "We don't trust you. We've heard all these stories about you. We're not going to take you onto the battlefield to fight with us because you might turn on us." So they sent him back to this place where he was living with his wife and family and everything, called Ziklag. And it was a place that evidently the Philistines had given to him to live. They get back there, and the Amalekites have raided it and burned the place up and taken their families and everything, and they thought, oh, they're dead. And his own men were talking about stoning him. You know, you talk about dark. I mean, really dark. And David says, I'm going to strengthen myself in the Lord. Now, how he did that, I have no idea. What does that mean? Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Got no clue. He might have praised God. He might have prayed. He might have sung songs and things. But he decided that he was going to strengthen himself in the Lord, which he did. And then he prayed, and the Lord says, go after these jerks. So he goes after them with 600 men, and down the road, 200 of them get too tired. They can't go any further. We're tired. So they stop at this brook, and he keeps going. With 400 men, he finds these guys laying around in a field. He goes in and kills them all day long. They get back what they lost. They get their people back, and they win. Now, do I feel like this is like Ziklag? Sort of. I really do. I feel like what we see is for conservatives and people that are conservative Christians, it feels like a total defeat. And I'm just going to say it. You know, a lot of people beat around the bush and act like, well, we got this. With 2 years, we'll elect this and that. Nah. In 2 years, this country's going to be so unrecognizable. They may not even have elections by then. I mean, it's possible. You have to admit defeat and embrace it sometimes to be able to come up out of it. And so here we are. We have to, and I've been fighting this battle for 40 years, giving money to things and causes and people that I believed in that, you know, that were conservatives and Christians and people
trying
like
to make
that.
A difference.
And, you know, it just looks like it didn't make any difference. But
that's when God has the opportunity to move, though, Tom.
That's true. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So we trust and believe.
And it really is in God's hands. But you know what? You know what we're going to talk about the next hour? We're going to talk about the first week of the Biden administration and what kind of changes and what effects they've had on the market.
Lovely.
So, yeah. So joining us in just a little bit are our financial guys. They will talk about the markets and give some reflection on what we've seen. We will be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show, powered by Dupree Financial Group from our studios on Main Street in Lexington. Stay tuned.
Getting out to states.
In another moment.
Next executive order.
And at any moment.
Rescue package.
The impeachment trial. There's no unity.
For all of life's moments.
Tune in and learn more.
News Radio 630.
To meet this moment.
WLAP.
Hi, I'm Tom Dupree with Dupree Financial Group. Are you interested in keeping your business local? At Dupree Financial Group, we don't share a large percentage of our revenues with a big firm in New York or elsewhere that has a corporate agenda that doesn't include Kentucky. And because we keep our revenues local, we are able to invest in our local research and client service efforts. We believe the investment business is best when it is personal and local. For a free analysis of your retirement investment portfolio, Call us at Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400. Also, please be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 9 at News Radio 630 WLAP. That's Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and DupreeFinancial.com.